You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, the notorious VIC Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You can stay connected to the Browns with the latest news, photos, videos, and more. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com, download our mobile app, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Browns, and on Instagram at Official Browns. And yes, this is a tough one. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_daily. I thought the roundtable was very good. I thought Tom and Doug both made some very, very good points about this team, and it is frustrating, and they have given away a lot of things over the last few weeks, and that is one of the reasons why, you know, this is a team that's gone in the span of 3 weeks from being talked about as a potential playoff contender. There were, you know, thoughts of grandeur about, maybe you could say delusions of grandeur, but thoughts of grandeur about, you know, the AFC North title. And obviously that's not the case anymore. Josh Gordon has been a bright spot. I think that, you know, there was still some good play in this game from the defense at times. I think that they got put in a bad situation at the end of the first half. But, you know, a great defense finds a way to kind of overcome that. And Joe Hayden did get another interception in this game. You talked about the pressure, and I wanted to ask you about this, Vic. The pressure has dissipated, and when you're a team that relies on creative blitzing and high percentage of blitzing for your pressure, you cannot manufacture it, or at least seemingly it has been difficult to manufacture pressure outside of that. At some point, don't you run out of creative blitzes, and the teams will have the tape on pretty much the things you are going to bring at their quarterback after a certain point?
Yeah, I do think you run out of things. Call it, I don't want to simply call it gadgetry and gimmickry. It is scheming. It is what you're supposed to do as a defense and as a defensive coordinator, especially Ray Horton and his staff, to find those weaknesses, those vulnerabilities that you can exploit. And you're always, like you're doing on offense, you're trying to find the mismatch, right? You're trying to put the guy in front of the guy or a guy in front of the spot that will give him clear path to quarterback. And that wasn't happening enough yesterday, especially on that last drive. And even though they did get two sacks out of it, they went two games without a sack is really inexcusable when you think about the pace that was established earlier. The other thing it speaks to is that you don't have enough guys who are physically dominant. Where have some of these guys been? Two sacks for Paul Kruger this season is not enough for the production, not even close to what you've invested in him. So where is that? Phil Taylor does not seem like the player that he had been earlier on. Haven't seen a ton out of Desmond Bryant. I thought he was playing exceptionally well for much of the year. I know he did a couple of things yesterday, but not what we had seen earlier, where it looked like he was just a beast just dominating. And Barkevious Mingo, yes, he had a better day yesterday. It was the first kind of day that you saw him really do some things in a long, long time. So those raise questions, but back to the scheming part, I just think that in that last drive, it was kind of coach to coach, and give the Jaguars staff props for coming up with ways to move the football. Tashawn Gibson told me after the game on Browns Overtime, the show we do for STO, that he said they schemed us. Which is another way of saying they outsmarted us. And that just can't be. I mean, you can't have that. And that's really what he was saying. Now, was he throwing coaches under the bus? Well, perhaps. But also, as a player, he's got to be as accountable as Joe Hayden said he was, and as accountable as other players, I think, who have stepped up to that accountability thing. But you also kind of take things for what they are. And what they are at this point is not good enough.
No, they aren't good enough. And it's interesting. You know, you talked about Paul Kruger. In the first nine games, he had 27 quarterback hurries and two quarterback sacks. In the last three, which have been obviously the biggest three in terms of derailing this season, he has two quarterback hurries. He has no sacks. He's also, interestingly enough, playing a much smaller percentage of the snaps of late than he was earlier in the season, which I don't know if that is what stems from that, if it's a production issue, et cetera. But that is something, you know, that certainly is noted. And you talk about this is a defense that's built on pressure and forcing mistakes, and yet it hasn't really been able to do that when they've needed it the most. Now, they did get the two interceptions. Let's not forget, against Cincinnati, Joe Hayden returned one for a touchdown. They were looking good. They get the interception this week. They were not able to get any from Ben Roethlisberger. They weren't able to sack Ben Roethlisberger. It's a defense that still has very impressive numbers. Even in this game, they give up 4.4 yards a play. It's what they've done all year long. But as you talked about, the numbers are not translating enough. And at many times, and I do think that the numbers have translated in the sense there were many games that had the offense performed as it did yesterday, they would have won. And you would think that in a game against Jacksonville, when the offense did perform the way that it did and gave them the lead, that they would be a game the defense would be able to hold on to. And I think that was probably, to me, the most surprising part of all of that is that they were able to generate that many points. And you look at it and you say, Jacksonville is not coming in here and putting 30 points on the scoreboard. And it's not like, and to be fair to the offense, it wasn't the case where against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, there were return touchdowns.
Right.
There were opportunities to stop them. And granted, on the three turnovers, they did hold them to 13 points, which is a pretty good job. In the past, it would have been 21 points. But just it's just disappointing. It's disappointing. But it's not – I also don't think it is a woe-is-me situation. I think there are things to be encouraged about on this team, and I definitely think that this is a team that has fallen victim to a failure to execute in critical moments. And that's the difference. That is the difference. The end of the first half was an abomination, and that is one of the big reasons they lost this game, but they still were in position to win after that fact, and they did not do that.
What makes all of this so hard to take, so hard to swallow, is when you look at the standings, when you look at the AFC, Nathan, top to bottom right now, having the potential of an 8-8 record, and I'm not making any case here for the Browns. I'm just saying that where this thing got away from them over the last few games. But that's my point here, is that you see one other team that's not in first place with 9 wins, only one team, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs at 9-3. And everything else just speaks to the mediocrity of this conference.
Sure.
6-6 Ravens are sitting there. And you look at that team and you say, really? That team's better than the Browns? I mean, it is now, because I can't make a case, by the way, for any team being worse than the Browns the way the Browns are playing. I'm sorry. Your points about bad execution at the right time, that says bad football team. Nothing says bad football team better than not executing when you have to, when you should, finding ways to lose. And that's been the broken record story of this football team, is finding ways to lose, giving games away, wasting performances like Josh Gordon's. I couldn't even fathom that we would have been talking about a player on this team being the very best at his position before this season. And then in light of the recent events, I'm shocked that we're sitting here still saying this is a guy who's up there with the best, with Calvin Johnson, with Larry Fitzgerald. You talk about best receivers in the league on talent, and I've seen a lot of receivers in a lot of years. I'm confident, and I liked what I saw from this guy 2 seasons ago in his rookie year and his first camp, even when he was raw and didn't know anything and was screwing up and was getting yelled at by coaches. I saw all that talent. And then you started to worry about the other stuff in his life that might derail him. And then the suspension came, and I said, this is just going to be a sad story of wasted ability. Right now, it is an incredible story of a comeback. So that's a fun thing to kind of rally around and be excited about. But it isn't enough. We got to have a lot more.
Remember, the NFL, especially with the parity that is around the NFL, is a game that comes down to a few plays here or there most weeks. And right now, the Browns have been on the wrong side of those few plays in each of the last 3 weeks, time and time again, and that is why they are where they are right now. But as you look, it is possible to turn things around. You get those few plays to go your way. You get a new quarterback next year. Just look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They picked first in the draft. In fact, it is going to be 2 consecutive seasons, most likely, that the team that picked first in the NFL draft is going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and turn it around briskly. Yeah.
Briskly. 2 years in a row. It is possible. And I think that
That's good. That's a good thing you just came up with.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I knew it, but now that you reminded me of it.
When you say it out loud, it sounds even better.
Sounded a lot better.
Right. It's true. And in 2 years ago, the team that also picked second because they traded up to get RG3 went to the playoffs.
Keep rolling, Preacher.
It's close. It is a league right now where there are very few what I would call mega teams. And fortunately for the Browns, most of them reside in the NFC.
So that's the positive side of it. The negative side of it is they've been just close enough to tease the living hell out of us and break our collective hearts over and over and over again. This year, this isn't piling on from other years. I'm just talking about 2013.
It's true.
The head coach of the Browns, had a chance to sit down with him. That's coming up, Rob Chudzinski. We're going to hear from Joe Hayden also in this hour. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, on a Therapy Monday edition of CBD. And Gerard Cherry will also join us around 240, 245-ish. You'll hear from him. Stick around for more. ESPN 850 WKNR.